and must walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you for that. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll sing again before we go to God's Word. Number 85. 85. Isaac Watts' wonderful hymn, "How Sweet and Awesome Is the Place." Linda said to me this morning at her house, "Please feed us well." I said, "Thanks for the pressure." But it's always right to endeavor to do so, so I'll try hard, looking to the Lord. But our hope is in God to feed us. So let's pray again to that end and ask Him to speak to us and bless His Word to our hearts. Lord Jesus, You are the great shepherd of the sheep, and they hear Your voice. And when they hear Your voice, Lord, it is life, it is light, it is help, it is heart-changing. So, Lord, this morning our prayer is let us hear Your voice above all of the voices. Lord, above all the distractions of this world. For when You speak any word, Lord, when You speak the word, darkness turns to light and demons flee and confusion gives way to clarity and sin gives way to righteousness and bondage to freedom and hopelessness turns into hope. So speak, Lord, through Your word, by Your Spirit, we would hear Your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 115. I was greatly stirred in meditating on this psalm, part of it, and something that Ian Murray wrote just stirred my heart. And I felt like that this thought was right for today. Psalm 115. We'll read verses 9 through 15. Psalm 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And our main text will be verse 12. The Lord has remembered us. Some translations render it, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord has been mindful of us. God has thought about us. Oh my, that's a big one. In fact, the Bible says so many are His thoughts about us, they can't be counted. Whenever you've been to the ocean, if you've ever been to the ocean, you look at the shore, just start trying to count the grains of sand. How about that? His thoughts about us, of us, outnumber the grains of sand on all the beaches and the sea floor of all the earth. This passage tells us He has been mindful of us. One translation rendered it, He has remembered us. He's remembered us. It's kind of the picture of no matter what the Lord has going on, He doesn't forget you. He's thinking of you. As a believer, as a child of God. As Psalm 40 says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord takes thought of me, or He's thinking of me. That's a humbling thing. Whenever you read that in the Bible, can you take it in? Can you receive that? That the sovereign God of the universe, Josh, who made every star and named them all, is thinking about you. He's mindful of us. Psalm 139, 17 and 18, the psalmist says, how precious are Your thoughts toward me, O God. If I tried to count them, they would be more in number than the sands of the sea. Well, how does He think of us? If He thinks of you as a Christian, then, in broad terms, how does He think of us? He thinks of us, this psalm tells us, in terms of blessing us, fact, that verse 15, the Lord has remembered us. He has thought of us. He thinks of us. And He will, what? Bless us. And then He goes on and He speaks of that even more. The psalmist's purpose, God's purpose, the psalmist says, is one toward His people of blessing. This psalm speaks of God's ultimate purpose of blessing. Because in verses 12 through 15, five times it speaks of God's promised blessing on His people. He'll bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. Let's broaden it. He will bless all those who fear Him. Is that you? If you fear the Lord today, and you're one of His, then the whole realm, the whole sphere in which God has your life, He only views as one of blessing. No condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. No guilt, no punishment, no fear of future wrath for those who are in Christ. Chastening, yes, but that's a blessing. Trials, yes, but they turn to gold by God's gracious hand. You are blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is what's in the heart of the psalmist. True Christianity, in a very broad sense, can be described with one word, blessing. Blessing. Because this verse 12 speaks of what God has done and what He will do for His children. It's the idea of blessing is the theme, and it's a comprehensive statement. And we won't turn there, but if you went back and read later today, Psalm 128, it's a commentary, same theme, the blessing of God upon His children. And so here, when the psalmist says in verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us, He has remembered us, He will bless us. This is blessing that's summarized of infinite magnitude to a multitude of people. Verse 15, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. So God really is the subject of the psalm. He's the actor in the psalm because it's His nature to bless. It's God's nature to bless everywhere, widely, all the time, because He is the source. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. God's the source of every blessing because all is from Him. That's why the psalm starts, we didn't read it, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. What an amazing reality. All blessings of time, from our birth to our death, all blessings that are temporal in time and eternity proceed from God's gracious hand to us. Now think about this. The worst thing that happened in man's fall in sin was not losing the Garden of Eden, not that he now had to labor by the sweat of his brow, not now that we're afraid of snakes. The greatest tragedy in Eden, the greatest tragedy of the fall, was mankind's loss of the knowledge of God. Adam and Eve knew God in intimacy. When the fall happened, men from then on did not know God. Our view of God was skewed. Our spirit became dead. No relationship with God, cut off from God, and our minds have been darkened, alienated from God, and we then live with a totally wrong view of God and wrong thoughts about God. The whole human race, because of that, became a race of idolaters. A race of idolaters. We invent, because of the fall in sin, we invent our gods and our idols. And everybody makes their own. For some, it might be religious icons. You go to Eastern Europe, to the rural areas. You go to Rome, and you'll see the idols. You'll see the gods kissed and worshipped and homage paid to them. Idols that we invent are the things in which man trusts. And they're the things which man serves. And they're the things which man counts as important and truly worships. I was listening to a commentator briefly after the Chicago Cubs won the World Series this week. He said, an amazing thing's happening around Wrigleyville. Wrigleyville is all the blocks around Wrigley Field where the Cubs play. And he was just saying with emotion and just specialness, he said, you know what's happening around Wrigleyville since the Cubs haven't won the World Series in 108 years? He said, there are people coming, writing the names of their grandparents and their dead parents on the wall in chalk because they know that will make to their dead loved ones the Cubs' victory special. And there are people, he said, going to cemeteries right near here and laying down Cubs memorabilia on their grandparents' graves because this will now mean so much to granddaddy that the Cubs won. Idolatry of the nth degree. They, in delusion, think somehow that's going to encourage or comfort or bless or get to dead Uncle Billy because he was a Cubs fan. The vanity of idols that cannot do anything for anybody. This psalm says it. We didn't read that. But if you look there in verses 4 through 8, they can't speak, they can't see, they can't hear, they can't smell, they can't touch anything, they can't do anything. All idols can do nothing for men. Sports teams. Let's touch some contemporary idols. Sports teams. Man, if ever there's a year that the Cowboys can do it, it's this year. How about those San Antonio Spurs? We have people here down from the South, so I'll hit their idol too. Sports teams. Entertainment. A great job. You got a great job. Enough money, the greatest food, fabulous vacations. None of it can offer anything that's lasting and real and fulfilling. Nothing that the world offers up has any real, lasting blessing in it. On the other hand, the love and grace of Jesus Christ, the blessing that comes from God Almighty, always brings life. Everything that flows from His hand to us is always a blessing. His voice speaks promises. His love offers far more than anything else this world can ever offer. None but Christ can satisfy. And that psalm is saying this. None but Christ has true blessing for anyone. You see, contrary to the world's idolatry since the fall, there's a different way of living which belongs to the people of God. Look in verses 9 through 11. He's just said in 4 through 8, idols? Nah. Dead, lifeless, powerless, the invention of man's hands. How can you make something that you can worship? No, but Israel, verse 9, you trust in the Lord. Don't trust in man. Don't trust in something created. Israel, you trust in the Lord. House of Aaron, you trust in the Lord. All you who fear God, trust in the Lord. Why? Because there's real blessing. There's reality. There's life. There's fullness. There's great, great reality in the context of God has been mindful of us. And He will bless us. The whole Bible, you could say, is about divine blessing. The whole message of the Bible is blessing. Let me prove that to you. Eden was a perfect paradise of blessing. The creation of all the universe was a glorious... Can you imagine seeing God speak the universe and all the systems into place and suddenly they were there? Can you imagine seeing that? All of creation of the universe was a glorious blessing. Adam and Eve, what perfect specimens of the height of God's creation as a man and woman. What specimens they would have been of the highest creation, perfect image bearers of the living God. What a blessing they were. The creation began with blessing. Genesis 1 said, male and female, He created and blessed them. To Abraham later. By the way, have you ever thought about this? Israel had its roots from a Gentile. There were 2,000 years of a people of God and the worship of God and the sacrifices before Israel ever existed. Abraham, a heathen, a Gentile. To Abraham, God said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Blessing. As the covenant of redemption begins to unfold. A people marked out for blessing was the people of Israel. And God gave them priests. And He said in number 6 to the priest, in this way you will bless the house of Israel. You will bless the children of Israel, saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The priests were taught to give the blessing of God upon the people of God. But do you know what else? As God continued to guide Israel, He continued to teach them more and more. He taught them that God's blessing was to be extended to the whole world. To the whole world. To Abraham, He said, In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And the Scripture traces how this happened. Blessing from God would come through one person, Jesus Christ. One person. Every lasting, every real, every true blessing comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Son of God into the world is evidence of God's intention to bless undeserving sinners. God sent His Son to bring ultimate eternal blessing. Think about the New Testament. You open the New Testament and you start in Matthew, and within 5 chapters of the beginning in the New Testament, you have Jesus pronouncing blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are. Blessed are. He's speaking the blessedness of those who come to know Him. And that theme continues on. Blessing. Being under the blessing of God means condemnation has turned into favor. You are now under the favor of God. And His blessing is upon you. And all that's to come to you will be a blessing. It will be turned by God's gracious, loving hand because you're in a standing of favor and blessing. It will all be turned for your good to become a blessing. Now think about this. I hadn't thought of this until last week. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul addresses the Lord Jesus Christ drinking the cup of our suffering in the context of the cross and Calvary. And when you think of Calvary and the blood of the cross, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul calls it the cup of blessing. Our salvation is a cup of blessing. Believers share in the results of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, this cup which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Our salvation is the greatest blessing man could ever experience. And the New Testament writers keep this theme. They see it in terms of this. Luke 24, we saw it in recent weeks as we ended Mark's Gospel. But in Luke 24, when ascending to heaven, Luke says, and it came to pass, speaking of Jesus, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and he went up to heaven. While he was blessing them, he came to bring blessing, he accomplished blessing, and his last words to his disciples before he ascended, while he blessed them. Do you as a Christian view yourself? I'm not talking about the T.D. Jakes stuff. I'm not talking about the Joel Osteen stuff. I'm talking about the real deal. Do you view yourself as greatly blessed? I am a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. Look at all the mercies of God. Everything that God has done for me, from every meal I've ever eaten, to the clothes I have, to a good bed and a good pillow. Bill McLeod in Canada used to wake up every morning and he'd say, "Lord, thank you for a bed and a pillow." Do we view those things as blessings? The blessing of a wife. We were at a wedding this weekend. Our friend Jeremy Volo was married in Arkansas. The great blessing. He obtains a wife, obtains favor from the Lord. So every blessing that comes from above is an amazing reality. But in terms of the gospel, the writers, Peter at Pentecost, think of this, Peter at Pentecost said this when he's preaching about the gospel. He said this. Have you ever noticed this? God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning everyone away from his sins. Listen, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you have no true blessing. And you will not know what true blessing in life will be until you turn from your sins and come to the one who alone holds eternal blessing in his hand. And he has that for you. Why have you not come yet if you're not a Christian? Let me give you three major points or truths in viewing God's blessing on your life clearly. Number one, here's how we got to view it. All our blessings have been planned before time. Before you were created, God decreed your life. He planned and decreed every blessing that would come to you, including where you'd live, when you would come to know his son, who you would marry, what he had for you, and all future blessings. He decreed it all. Every blessing, all our blessings, have been planned beforehand. We sang it in that hymn earlier. We won't turn back to it. But your blessings as a Christian, every one of them, were decreed and planned in eternity. Perfectly, personally. Isn't it amazing that Jake was in the mind of God and the Lord had decreed, I'm going to make this guy Jake Wheeler. And I'm going to give him the parents I'm going to give him. And it's all going to work for good. And he's going to be in college in Arlington. And his brother Nick, I'm already going to save him. And I'm going to use Nick to bring Jake to the Lord. And I'm going to get him to Denton. And I'm going to make him a blessing. All decreed in eternity. You didn't bring any of it about. Every blessing in our lives, God planned from all eternity. Mind-boggling, yes. You cannot take it in, but we can believe it. God was thinking of us. God was mindful of us. Blessings are not random. They're not accidents. Oh, what a coincidence that happened to you. No. Every conversion is planned by God in eternity. Your marriage, the children you have, your future provision, planned and carried out. I want you to turn to Acts 17, 25 and 26. You know, I've heard people say things before like, you know, if I could have just lived in Spurgeon's time to hear him preach, if I could have just lived in John Calvin's time, if I could have lived here and then, well, Acts 17 tells you when you were supposed to be. when I was supposed to be. Acts 17, 25 and 26. Paul is on Mars Hill preaching to the Greeks, to the Athenians, and he tells them about the living God. In verse 25, he says, "Now is he, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." And notice 26. "And he made from one man," that's Adam, "every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth." Everybody's father was Adam, and all men throughout history in every nation are Adam's descendants. And notice this, "to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods," that's when you live, "and the boundaries of their dwelling place," and where you live. We live, some of us, in the 20th and 21st century, right here, because God purposed our times and the place of our habitation. Some of you were determined to live, to come into this world's history in the 21st century. And you don't live in Africa, and you don't live in Switzerland. You don't live in Wisconsin. You live in Texas. And God planned our church for His glory and for you. The boundaries and the times of our habitation are fixed in God's sovereignty. We are to understand that all our blessings come to us because God has planned them in the past, appointed before we were born. Isaiah 46:10 says this, "I am God, declaring the end from the beginning. My counsel will stand and I will accomplish all my purpose." And John Newton wrote these words in one of his songs. "When his name was quite unknown, and sin my life employed, then he loved me as his own, or I would have been destroyed." Before we're converted, we have no idea that God's been thinking of us, that God's watching us, that he loves, that he cares, that he's maneuvering all things to bring about our salvation. We have no idea that he's thinking of us. When convicted of sin and we first are awakened to life and we feel our sinfulness and we know God's real and suddenly the gospel becomes a reality, then usually we stand amazed that God could love us because of our sin. We stand amazed that he would love us, and it dawns on us, God had this plan. His eye was on me. His heart was toward me. His love was for me. He died for me. He was thinking of me. This overwhelms the Christian's heart that the Lord has been mindful of us. Next truth. Not only has every blessing been planned beforehand in eternity, past blessing in your life and mine, past blessing is proof and guarantee of future blessing. Past blessings are proof and guarantee of future blessing. It's right there in the verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us, that's past. He will bless us, that's future. Has been, will. The first secures the second. If God has been mindful of you savingly, it's a proof that he has future blessing and mercy planned for you. Future grace. I forget who wrote it. I love to think about it. What does Ebenezer mean? Hitherto, up to this point, look how God's helped me. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to see me quite through. Past mercies are your proof that future mercy is certain. He will bless you if He's been mindful of you. What has been true in the past? Grace and mercy and kindness toward a child of God. Blessing, blessing, blessing. God being mindful of us will be true in the future. The same grace we've had in the past is certain in the future. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. Now, I want you to think of this right now. Our failure to believe that God being mindful of us in the past, how He's blessed us in the past, is certain proof of the certainty of His future blessing on us. Our failure to believe this explains why we can be conscious of past blessings and recognize them and yet be anxious about the future. Well, God, Lord, You've been so good, but what about our future? The failure to believe that He will bless us because He's been mindful of us produces anxieties and doubt and worry about the future. Because we think at times of possible difficulties and trials and uncertainties and all the circumstances that could threaten our future happiness. And suddenly, our peace disappears, our thankfulness disappears, and our view that God only has blessing for us melts away. And we worry, and we're afraid, and we have anxiety. Then we fail to believe what Augustus Toplady sang and urged other Christians to sing. Things future, nor things that are now, nor all things below or above, can make Him His purpose forego or sever my soul from His love. Things future, nor things that are now, nor things below or above. None of that can make God His purpose forego or sever my soul from His love. Nothing in the future will separate the child of God from the love of Christ. Nothing. Christians are to be thankful for the future. Are you ever thankful for the future? Christians are to be thankful for the future as well as the past, because David says He will bless us. He will bless you. Through the love of God our Savior, the song says, all will be well. Pure and changeless is His favor. All is well. God gives us, here in the second part of this verse 12, the promise of future blessing. Why? Because He knows how much we need it. It's easy to look back and praise God and have perfect faith when you see what He's done for you in the past. It's a different thing altogether to look into an uncertain future. Well, what's it going to be like? Well, will I have enough? Well, who will I marry? Well, will I marry? Well, what about this? What about that? No, future is uncertain. But guess who holds the future? The one who holds your future is the one who created heaven and earth, the psalm says, and He has promised you, I will bless you. He only has blessing for the Christian. Only has blessing for the Christian. And He makes this promise because we know He knows how much we need it. We are passing through a world. You are passing up through a world. Children, you are being raised in a world, and your future in this world has 10,000 dangers and snares and traps and enemies. But God will bless the one who trusts in Him all the way through and lets you maneuver all the way to glory. Third truth, final truth. Not only has God predetermined every blessing, and not only does past blessing guarantee future blessing, but the great truth is the Lord Himself, Christ Himself, is the blessing given to those who fear Him. It doesn't matter how little you have in this life if you have Christ. I remember being at the bedside of a dying man in Romania, poor village, poor house. He had known and loved the Lord for 50 years. He was on his deathbed. He couldn't move. They took us in to see him, and he was so grateful, and he had such love for the Lord. He had prayed. He had lived through communism falling. I think he had been in prison under communism in Romania. He had lived to see the Iron Curtain fall. Now he was hearing reports that the gospel was spreading in Eastern Europe, and he was hearing reports of churches being planted and young men being called in the ministry. And his eyes were full of tears because he saw future blessing. And the only thing he had in those dying days was, the Lord is with me. His health's gone. He can't go to church. The Lord. Listen, one day, all you're going to have is the Lord. Your husband, your wife, your children will not be there possibly. All human dependence can be removed. Christ Himself is the blessing given to those who fear Him. Every blessing and grace, natural and spiritual, given. The rain, air to breathe, the beating of the heart, the farmer who's not a Christian and hates God has marvelous crops and he reaps the benefit. That's a natural grace that's come from God to that man. But every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. He changes not. He changes not. And all blessings in the earth, both natural and spiritual, witness to our conscience the fact that God Himself is the great giver of any blessing. Jeremiah 31, I will be their God. They will be my people. That's the greatest blessing. Knowing Christ is the eternal blessing above all blessings. To be united to Christ is a blessing beyond comprehension. You will find no rest or satisfaction or purpose, but your soul will drift in aimless emptiness until you come to know Jesus Christ as your blessing. Many temporal blessings given to those who don't know Christ. Brilliance, educational opportunities, provision. Many unbelievers receive many temporal blessings. But temporal blessings do not turn a lost person's heart to Christ. They don't humble our pride. They don't remove our condemnation. You know, and it's a popular term today to use the word blessed. You probably hear lost people use it. Well, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. I've got a good family. I've been blessed. They use the term, and they know nothing of salvation. They know nothing of the greatest blessing of Jesus Christ, who is the one who gave them any earthly blessings, and they know nothing of the only eternal blessing that would exist. What if you go into eternity without Christ? Will it matter what you had down here? No. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, has died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Even in the hardest trials, and even at the point of death, faith will say, the Lord has been mindful of us. The Lord will bless us. Isaiah 54:10 is a marvelous promise about God's certain blessing. Isaiah 54:10 says, for the mountains will depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you, neither will my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. I love that verse and that hymn. Now thank we all our God, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Beloved, if the Lord has saved you, two great, awesome realities. You're only under blessing now. Only under blessing. The Lord has been mindful of you, and the Lord will bless you. Do you believe that? Is that precious and delightful to your... Do you see your whole life as a Christian through that lens of blessing? God blessed my past to save me. He engineered and controlled all of it. He's brought me into a life of blessing. Now, granted with trials, challenges, those are only meant to sanctify us and help us and to bless us more. Every trial fallen from above, traced upon a dial by the Son of Love, He uses them. Everything, Leonard Ravenhill used to say, everything that by the time it gets to us, it's God's will for us. You are blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Beloved, I would urge you to take that verse, Psalm 115, verse 12, and let it become bread for you. The Lord has remembered us. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. And you're included. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So, what thanks shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I'll lift up the cup of salvation. Lord, more please. Fill it up more. Bring more blessing. I want it all. I want all You have. Nothing less, nothing else, nothing more. Lord, bless my life for Your glory and for my good, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, one verse in Your Word can yield sparkling diamonds and rubies and riches and gems. I pray that this truth, Psalm 115:12, would lodge in our hearts and be real to us, that we would view ourselves in light of this, that we could say in faith and from our hearts, and we could say to You in prayer, Lord, You've been mindful of me. You've remembered me, and You will, praise God, You will bless me. So Lord, cause us to walk in the reality of this to the praise of the glory of Your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our Sunday for the Lord's Supper. So we're going to have that now, if the men would come down for that. And we will take our hymnal and sing a couple of songs. The first will be 90, and then we'll sing another one right after that. We're going to sing this number 90 in two parts, really. We're going to sing the first three verses as the first hymn. Sarah will stop after three, and we'll come back and we'll sing the second three verses. And as we sing this, as we serve the elements, as we sing this, let the truth of it minister to your heart. See this cup of blessing that is so rich in what God has allowed us to do. Jeff, are you coming? Are you able to come or you want me to? Remember that the Lord's Supper is for believers. If you know that you're not a Christian, we ask you to let it pass. And we'll celebrate the Lord here together.
So if you're a believer, we invite you to partake of this ordinance that the Lord Jesus himself ordained for the church to recognize. He ordained baptism and he ordained the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. And the Apostle Paul said this about the Lord's table. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Brother Brian, would you pray before we partake of the bread?
Father, what a great privilege to come to your table, weak and crippled, Father. Our knowledge and our faith are weak, but our Savior is all sufficient. His work is our substitution. Thank you for the blessing of faith, though it be weak at times, Father. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient, our great substitute. Father, thank you for this symbol. Thank you, Father, that you've made us aware of this eternal, glorious reality in the gospel, the broken body of our great Savior, the one righteous one, our great substitute. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy made known to us through the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Yes. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
She'll play the first three, and then we'll start. And the last three.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus said, "This is my body." This bread represents his body, which was broken for us. We'll eat this in remembrance of him. Brother Darius, will you pray before we administer the drink?
Our Father, Lord, you've been so merciful to us and so gracious, O Lord. You're so undeserving of the least of your steadfast love and kindness, O Lord, but you sent your Son for us,
yes.
Lord, and showed abundant, infinite mercy and grace, Lord, cleansing us from our filthiness and our sin and washing us, Lord God, and giving us the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you. What a privilege it is to be a part of your family, oh Lord, adopted in. We just thank you so much,
yes.
Lord. Thank you for this time and to be able to participate,
yes.
Be in Christ. In his name, amen.
Amen. And the Lord Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen."
Let's close by singing one more hymn, the next page, 91, that's also about communion together. 91, "Be present at our table, Lord." Amen. We won't sit back down, but we'll share announcements and then we'll be dismissed. Just two or three. The Denton prayer meeting Wednesday at 7 at our home. The West prayer meeting will be at the Bird's House at 7. Women's retreat coming up in a couple of weeks. So families, make sure you plan for that with your husbands. Brother Lee is at Portland preaching today, and he'll be back, I guess, tomorrow. I am in Amarillo, Texas next weekend at our Amarillo church plant, so I appreciate your prayers for that. I think that's all, unless I've forgotten anything. Any important announcements that need to be mentioned? Everybody hear that? A week from this Thursday, the women's study will not be held because of the women's retreat starting Friday. Well, we're having lunch. We hope everyone can stay. Please do, and we'll be dismissed now to get ready for that.